Good morning, and welcome to the first quarter 2020 Gentera's conference call. Now, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Enrique Barrera, Investor Relations Officer of the company. Sir, you may begin.
Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today are Mr. Enrique Majós, Gentera's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Banco Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Mario Langarica, Gentera's Chief Financial Officer. They will review the results for Gentera for the first quarter period as per the report that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. Please note that in this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. One special favor. During the Q&A session, we ask you to ask your questions as loud and clear since we are connected from different lines. I would now like to turn the call to Enrique Majós for his presentation. Enrique, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and thank you for being with us today. We hope you and your families are doing well and keep safe, please. As you know, we are living challenging and unprecedented times, so I can tell you that this will be an unusual report. We want to concentrate more in the present and in the future than in the last quarter. However, it is very important also to say that we had a very strong first quarter 2020, and I'm sure that Mario will provide us with the information to get in there. We have the results that show very strong, and we also prepared some provisioning that I believe will prepare us for the storm that we are facing. But anyway, Mario Langarica will tell us about that in detail. So let me start with a really important subject before getting into the business, which is the health of our staff and clients. Regarding our staff, I can tell you that at this point, 98% of our staff in head offices are fully working at home and very efficiently, by the way, and over 80%-90% of our staff in our branches are also working from home, and they are in constant contact with our clients through digital channels. So I think that we are also being very efficient there. Everyone has the tools they need to work, and they have been operating really efficiently during the last weeks. From the 22,000 people that we have in Gentera, today we can report 20 people that have been confirmed of having COVID-19 virus, 16 in Mexico, 4 in Peru, and 0 still in Guatemala. In any case, we are taking all the safety measures in our hands to maintain our staff really safe. We are providing, by the way, COVID health insurance and life insurance to all our staff members. And unfortunately, we can already tell you that we have one case of a loan officer, Enroc Martínez, who died 2 weeks ago in Ciudad Juárez from coronavirus. Ciudad Juárez is a small town in the border with the U.S. at the north of Mexico. We are very sorry for our loss, and we are providing Enroc's family all the support for these difficult moments. Regarding our clients, it is difficult to have reliable information in general, and you know that. However, we have a weekly survey for our customers, and from that survey, we can tell you that less than 1% of the groups mentioned that a member of the group could be infected. This is not really reliable information because we don't have enough testing in Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala, and we don't have the testing confirmation. But if each group has around 10 people in average, this could mean that less than 0.1% of our clients have been infected. We have to be very cautious with these statistics because we have very little testing fireside talk. Maybe the most relevant or hard information we have comes from the life and health insurance products that we have for our customers, which, by the way, also protect them from COVID. We have 2.7 million customers with this insurance product. And as of today, as of yesterday, we had 10 cases of reported deaths from COVID, 8 of them in Mexico and 2 of them in Peru. And we are adding, if we add here pneumonia, which might be also COVID, we have a total of 53 cases. So this means that we have around 0.002% mortality rate, which is in line with statistics globally in all the countries that have more information around this. So, but anyway, in any case, we will make everything in our hands to protect our staff and clients. Now, let me turn to the business side. Despite the challenging unprecedented times, the first quarter 2020 results were really strong. Patricio, but especially Mario, will talk in detail about it. However, I know that the most important matter at this point is to talk about the present and the future challenges, so I will move on to that. Let me describe what we have been doing in the past couple of months. By the end of February, we were communicating to the board and to you in our previous conference call a very promising year ahead. Maybe at that point we still didn't have a clear understanding of the impact of the COVID pandemic. We started to have a better understanding of the situation maybe during the week of March 9th, and in the week of March 16th we started to implement immediate actions basically in four fronts. The first one, we took action to keep our staff and clients safe. The second one, we accelerate the implementation of digital tools to have more remote and constant contact with our clients. As you know, our business model is very human contact intensive, and we had to make sure that that contact remains now with the digital means that we have in our hands or others that we have been implementing in these last weeks. The third action was, and this is a very important one, we offered all our customers an 8 weeks payments amnesty, and this was a tough one. But by the way, even if we allowed our customers, 100% of our customers, not to pay for 8 weeks, and this is April and May, 39% of our customers are still paying us after 4 weeks. So this means that the business of our customers are still there, and the customers are willing to pay us. So this is a good news. However, we are preparing because we know that we are just starting with this special situation that we are living. Also, we continue disbursing our loans when members of the group and the loan officers agree on it. And that's also a very important thing to do because in this business, if you stop disbursing, the people maybe will not get to the other loan, and most of the motivation of the payment comes from getting the next loan. And also we know that our clients in this situation will need our funding to start the recovery phase once the isolation period stops. So disbursing is something that we are also putting a lot of effort on. There's a challenge there because you have to maintain balance between disbursing and payments and take care and manage your liquidity. But Mario will talk a lot about that, and I believe that our liquidity is being faced and we are strong financially to get through the other side, even in terms of liquidity for the organization. We are making a lot of efforts and we are taking actions to implement more credit lines, and we feel strong also on that. As you can see, hard decisions, all of them, have been taken up to now. We have more decisions to make in a daily basis, maybe in the following weeks and months. But all of them are always supported by our core values. And at the end, we are doing what we believe is the right thing to do. We are putting humanity up front. And at the same time, we have an intelligent business strategy, decision-making process, and execution. So let me tell you a little bit more about our action plan. As you know, our decision-making process has always been start with a good diagnosis, then build a good action plan, and then be very efficient in the execution. That's the way we have been facing the last challenges during the past years. And it's a very efficient and a very good formula to get through this kind of challenges. So our plan is based on six main priorities. The first one is to protect our staff and clients from the risk of getting infected. The second priority is to redefine and implement new ways of operating, and that may be to get into new normals on the way we operate. The third priority is to make sure that we have the liquidity to go through this crisis. And as I told you, Mario will tell us more about this. The fourth priority is to reduce our expenses to the essential and redefine our resources to assure the business continuity. Five, to capture the opportunities that we will find on the way, because we believe that this situation will always bring us also good opportunities to be better as a company, to have better processes, and to provide a better service to our clients. So this means, in other words, not only playing defense, but playing offense in these times. And the sixth priority that we have is that we are giving high priority to the internal and external communication and leadership all across the country, the company. Talking about leadership, our management team, we have to be very realistic and at the same time to be very energized to energize the organization with encouraging leaderships. The situation is not easy for anyone. We are living a process of disruptive change, but we are also living a process of disruptive opportunities. Patricio will get into more detail about how are we operating, but let me just tell you that after evaluating the situation, we know that our clients need Gentera and Compartamos products more than ever, and we will definitely will be with them at this moment and in this situation. Let me add maybe two important considerations here, or three. Once the lockdown is over and the economy starts to roll again, we will be operating in our, let's say, quote-unquote, natural element. Gentera's mission DNA has always been to provide development opportunities to vulnerable people. That's the social impact that we have always looked to create, and especially today, this is more important than ever. Also, customers, businesses, supply basic needs. The kind of businesses that our customers have are on very basic needs, and we believe that that are the activities that will recover faster from this crisis. So being in the business of food or clothing is an advantage when we get to the recovery phase and we stop the lockdown. So I think that's something to consider. And also, Gentera has always been financially strong, and we are confident that we have the liquidity needed to make it through the social distancing weeks or maybe months. Bottom line, we are in a privileged situation to confront this crisis and to help our customers to get through it. I promise that we will get value from this situation, and we won't waste this crisis. It is also important to mention that maybe not at the same scale, but we have been through different crises before in Gentera and in Compartamos. This is not the first crisis that we face. During our 30 years history, we have gone through pandemics, economic crises, and even natural disasters. And let me tell you about some learnings from those experiences. One of them is that our clients are very resilient, flexible, and strong. And when I mean flexible, it's flexible in terms that they can switch from one to another activity quite fast. And we have some examples of that. Maybe Patricio will tell us about them. And the other thing about the strength of our clients is that NPLs, yes, they rise in the short term when we have this kind of situations, but then they return to normal in about 3 to 6 month period. At least that has been the experience that we have had in the past. Also, our target market will grow because we know that with unemployment, self-employment becomes the best available option, and people will have the need for new loans. The other thing that we also are looking at is that supply will be shorter, maybe, and the demand will be higher when the shutdown period ends and the recovery phase starts. So we have an important role here at Gentera and an important responsibility because we have to make sure that this industry has the power to supply the loans needed by our customers. And we are making sure that we will work for that. So now I would like to be more specific about three main topics. The first one, our 2020 guidance, that I think it's an important topic that you would like to hear about. The second one, our ConCrédito partnership. And the third one, the Intermex transaction that is still in process. So let me get into the guidance 2020. Given the current circumstances, guidance 2020, as you can imagine, is no longer valid, even though it's hard to know how the following months are going to look like. We estimate that once operations get to the new normal, we will be able to provide a new guidance, maybe, hopefully, in the next 1 to 2 quarters. I hope before that. However, as you know, Gentera has always had a strong financial position with a strong capital structure. And we have not stopped looking for additional funding and sources to maximize our liquidity levels. We can tell you that we have the liquidity to face the following months until the economy starts opening again. We have pulled all our liquidity from credit lines, and we keep negotiations as we speak to acquire new lines. Then, talking about ConCrédito, as well as Gentera, is building its strategy on maintaining its service to clients as well as on its liquidity. Remember that ConCrédito has a very strong capital structure of more than 47%. We continue to be very bullish about ConCrédito's business model and the partnership that we have with them. We are working together to privilege the liquidity needed and obtain new funding sources for both Gentera and ConCrédito. We are in the process of redefining the best way to proceed about the acquisition transaction with our partners. And by the way, I want to thank our partners for the spirit of mutual support that they have shown through these difficult times that we are all facing. And finally, talking about Intermex, regarding the process of Intermex, we estimate closing the deal with Trans Network by the end of the second quarter of the year. We are very pleased that Trans Network has expressed its intention to continue with this transaction. So, bottom line, these are very uncertain and disruptive times. However, we really feel strong strong and motivated as a team. And as we see, as well, as we see the opportunities from this crisis, we will capture them, not only for the benefit of the company, but for the benefit of our clients, that they need us more than ever. Challenges are big. However, I know that together we will get to the other side. Let me now pass the line to Patricio. He will provide us more specific information of the way we are operating and the action plan that we have. Hello, Patricio, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Enrique, and good day to everyone. First, I really hope that you are and remain safe, strong, and healthy during the sanitary contingency that we are all living. As always, we appreciate your interest in Gentera. At the end of the quarter, we faced the beginning of government and social efforts to deal with the pandemic in Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala. Even though we have dealt with different events over the course of our history, the depth and length of this contingency is different. However, customers and our employees have managed crises such as earthquakes in 2017, climate change events such as El Niño or hurricanes every year, the H1N1 disease in 2009, and the financial crisis in 2008, successfully. To deal with these events, we modified our traditional business model to operate during such periods of time. As you will know, our operational model has always been heavy in human contact, using weekly visits in our customers' houses and businesses. This pandemic has given us the opportunity to accelerate in just a few weeks the implementation of the digital contact channels with nearly 100% of our customers and loan officers. Today, we have a daily remote contact with our 3.8 million customers and more than 22,000 employees. This way of communicating has been crucial to maintain the business running. Before I go into the details, it's important to give some context. What we have seen in the past, in economic downturns, the informal economy usually grows since unemployment rises and qualified people look for financing for productive activities to make their living. Therefore, we are certain that our addressable market will definitely grow in the months to come. More so, due to the basic nature of the products and services that the customers sell, the demand tends to be relatively stable regardless of the economic cycle. It is clear that the economic activity will be affected since tourism, remittances, and different sectors will be impacted directly. But the microentrepreneurs can adapt fast to the new economic dynamics since they do not have heavy costs or infrastructures behind. As such, we know that our customers' businesses will recover faster than other business activities once reactivation period starts. Finally, we know that in troubled times, access to funding is challenging, and the competitive landscape tends to get weaker, which opens the door for greater opportunities. Due to these dynamics, we understand that we go through four stages in the following quarters. We are now in the first stage, that is containing and maintaining our customer base. The second stage will be to restructure our customers and give them some flexibility to deal with a weaker economy. The third stage will be to reactivate and try to gain market share given the fact that most of our competitors are facing strong operational and financial difficulties. And finally, we think that going forward, we will need to adapt and work in the new normal of the market where we do not want to lose the strong efforts we have made to digitize the operation. Let me go through the last 6 weeks of this year. We have been focused on, first, the safety of our employees, We have implemented the home office for most of the company. We have kept the branches open to make sure that the customers can get their loans and make their payments in our infrastructure. To do so, we provided our staff with the protection measures and tools to operate safely. Second, we deployed benefits for our customers in the three countries. We deferred payments of their loans for up to 8 weeks to face the reduced economic activity and difficulty to make payments due to the restrictions in mobility. Despite this flexibility, during April, close to 39% of our customers remained current, since customers were not as affected yet from the economic slowdown or needed additional resources, which encouraged them to pay us back. We are also distributing loans to repeat customers and when the members of the groups and the loan officers agree on it. Third, we monitor and make sure that our branches, JazzPass, correspondence, and third-party channels are open, are available, and available to our customers. As of today, we have close to 40,000 different channels that our customers can use to operate with us in the three countries. Finally, we know that this is just the beginning and was only the first step to deal with this pandemic. For the second stage of restructuring, we are working on additional set of benefits to encourage payments from the customers, giving them additional resources, longer tenors to reduce the weekly payments, etc. Such mechanisms will allow us to keep a healthy portfolio with good asset quality and, more importantly, provide them with alternatives to keep their credit access and maintain their business running. To this date, it's encouraging to us to see that the benefits now present in the market have been well received by the customers. And we see stories like Elizabeth Urbina in the state of Tamaulipas that she used to have a handcrafted product store, and now she's making face masks and other materials highly demanded in this contingency. Or Aurora Prado in Monterrey that used to produce and sell cleaning products is now producing sanitizing gel. Clients like Maria Elena Soto in Mérida used to sell food in a physical marketplace. Now she shifted to sell via WhatsApp to regular customers and expanding their customer base by selling remotely. What is more impressive is the fact that they switched from one product to another within 1 week. These stories are multiplied by millions, not only in Mexico, but Peru and Guatemala. We reinforce our commitment with our staff and with our clients, and we are sure that all together will come out stronger from this contingency. We believe that if we maintain the safety of our employees and provide them with the correct incentives to the customers to maintain their credit relationship with Compartamos, we will be able to keep our leadership position in the market since the demand for credit will remain strong. It is important to note that we now serve close to 3.8 million customers, which is a 10% growth versus last year, the highest number in our history. Make sure that we will be committed with all of them in this challenging time. That is all for my remarks. I will now turn the call over to Mario Langarica to review Gentera's financial for the quarter. Once again, thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Enrique and Patricio, and good day to everyone. I hope that you and your families are well in this sanitary contingency. I will address my remarks talking about the most relevant line of Gentera's income statement and some financial metrics for first Q20. That includes some of the precautionary decisions that we have already taken since March as a consequence of this contingency. I will describe the implications to the financial statements going forward in the context of the special actions and methodologies that the regulators have granted banks and financial institutions in the countries where we operate that apply to the programs that we have launched to support our clients, as Enrique Patricio has described. Following the actions allowed by regulators in Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala, we took the decision to extend the grace periods described before to our customers delaying the normal payments of their credits. Our authorities allowed to keep the portfolios as current during this period. Given the fact that collections will be deferred, but the portfolios will be kept current, we decided to take an initial and incremental provision of 367 million pesos in Mexico and equivalent to 71 million pesos in Peru, for a total amount of 438 million pesos in Gentera. So we should consider that affecting the results that I described below. As you can see from our results published yesterday, Gentera's closed first Q20 with solid dynamics, above of what we were originally expecting, and again in line with the good results that we have been presenting in the past quarters. Excluding the precautory provision, net income for this quarter would have been the second highest amount in pesos ever presented. These results leave us in a solid position to face the new challenges to come. As mentioned before, our first Q20 portfolio amounted to 44.5 thousand million pesos, representing a 25% growth compared to first Q19. This solid growth generated 5,960 million in interest income, representing an 8.9% increase compared to first Q19, and this growth was mainly driven by a 4.7% increase in interest income in Mexico and a 25.5% growth in Peru. Interest expenses at Gentera contracted 9% compared to first Q19, which was a consequence of an active management of our liabilities and the reductions of the reference rates in Peru and Mexico. Therefore, net interest income resulted in a 10.8% increase compared to 1Q19. Provisions reached 1,251 million during the quarter. This item increased by 609 million pesos, or 94.9% compared to first Q19, following the precautory provision described before of 438 million and additional provisions related to the growth of the portfolio. These measures on provision and additional liquidity will also impact our margins, or have also impacted our margins. For this quarter, net interest margin after provisions amounted to 32.2%, which is below 39.5% obtained in first Q19. The extra liquidity and the prudential provisions impacted this metric in approximately 5 percentage points. Also, the cost of risk for the quarter was affected to amount 11.6%. Excluding this provision, cost of risk would have amounted to 7.5%, below the guided number for 2020 that we provided before. Net commissions amounted to 224 million, which is a slight decrease of 11 million pesos or 4.7% versus first Q19. But it is important to highlight that these commissions are coming now mostly from Yastas, Aterna, and Compartamos Financiera, and do not include any more Intermex fees. So this slight decrease, in fact, is a very positive number because the commissions from the other subsidiaries are substituting the Intermex fees that we are no longer booking. Operational expenses for the quarter amounted to 3,539 million pesos, which is a 6.6% growth compared to first Q19. This increase was, again, below the 8% that we guided at the beginning of the year, but it's important to note that the pace of growth of expenses will definitely be lower in the following quarters than the level originally planned due to the current and future situation that we are all living. As mentioned before by Enrique and Patricio, in face of the contingency, we have implemented a deep review of all expenses to limit them to essential activities and to business continuity with explicit solutions for our clients and our sales force. We are aiming to reach a relevant reduction of the guided expenses for the full year. We will provide more detail on the new expected number in the next quarter. Gentera net income ended the period at 787 million pesos, which represented a 6.1% contraction compared to the 838 million recorded in 1Q19. This contraction is explained by the 438 million provision booked related to the sanitary contingency that we have described. This provision, when presented at the net income level, represents a 308 million reduction. It's important to know that if we hadn't booked this provision, Gentera net income would have amounted to 1,094 million pesos, and it would have been our second best historic quarter in recent times. ROE stood at 14.7. It would have been 20.3% ex-provision, and ROE amounted to 5.2 and 7.1% ex-provision. And it's important to note that the capitalization index for Banco Compartamos reached 35.5% levels. These numbers put us, again, in a good position and solid position to go forward and face the contingency. Now let me talk about some of the other decisions that we have made and explain some of the dynamics that we should expect going forward. One, we have made relevant decisions on liquidity, funding, and use of capital. We have taken extraordinary liquidity in Mexico, more than 6,500 million pesos at the closing of March, and up to April, we have already obtained additional funding going forward. Peru, more than 290 million soles, equivalent to more or less 1,900 million pesos. And in Guatemala, 50 million quetzales, which is more than 35 million pesos. We are also reviewing incremental funding options with new and traditional sources, such as commercial banks, development banks, the debt capital markets, as well as with international development banks and with regulators under the new programs that are coming to the financial systems in the different countries for different alternatives applicable to this context. For use of capital, as recently announced, our board of directors resolved to recommend to the ordinary annual shareholders meeting that took place on April 17 to not decree nor pay dividends for the 2019 financial years, as well as to suspend the use of our share buyback program until further decision. These measures will help Gentera to further strengthen our liquidity and capitalization levels. Future investments that require use of capital are being reviewed in depth and closely analyzed. Based on the special regulatory programs implemented in Mexico and Peru, as described before, we would expect to see the following trends in some of our key relevant indicators. In portfolio performance, given the criteria granted by the regulators, Gentera's loan portfolio will show the following dynamics. First, the portfolio presented in this first Q20 should be considered as our base case portfolio. This portfolio under the current regulatory programs will remain current in our books for the grace period and under the payments and all term reprogramming until the new flow of collections restart. During second Q, the new credits granted in the period will accumulate to the current portfolio that includes the grace periods presented in first Q20, and because of this, we should expect some growth at the loan portfolio level. In 3Q, we expect to have more collections and lower renewals, implying reaching potentially a peak and then a potential reduction on the size of the portfolio depending on the programs that are implemented and taken by the clients. And in 4Q, we would expect and hope to see a return for more credit demand from our clients and hopefully a return of growth to our portfolio, always being very careful about asset quality. We would expect a return to more, in quotes, historical levels of growth until 1Q21. As you can see, this description follows the phases described before by Patricio. The timing of each one will probably depend on what we are seeing in the real economy as we move along. So we could expect that the performance or dynamics of the loan portfolio will have somehow like a mountain shape in the following months. Regarding income, the interest income will also move atypically given the grace periods that we have extended to our clients and also on the reprogramming dynamics that we see in the second phase. So we would expect there to see a new type of form behavior, and we would expect to see probably the bottom in June, July, hopefully of this year, expecting to see a return and acceleration in the last quarters of the year and potentially get to more traditional dynamics by the end of the year. In terms of provisions and NPLs, again, in line with the authorization granted by the regulators, provisions for loan losses and NPLs will also show some unusual dynamics during the year. Regarding NPLs, we would expect to see a peak in May, and we would expect improvements in the levels of NPL during the third quarter to see back again a return to more normal numbers on the 4Q. These movements, given the fact that NPLs are considered after 90 days of non-payment, but the payments and the collections will be deferred in time. So that will also have an effect on what we would expect to see going forward. To conclude my remarks, we would like to mention recent events taken by the rating agencies in Mexico and Peru. On April 3rd, Fitch Ratings confirmed Banco Compartamos on its long and short-term national scale ratings and AA+ next and F1+ next, changing the outlook to negative. And on April 21st, Fitch changed Banco Compartamos global ratings, long-term issue of default ratings, IDRs, to BB+ from BBB-, and the rating outlook on the long-term IDRs remained negative. On April 14th, S&P Global Ratings confirmed Banco Compartamos national and global scale long-term ratings at MXAA+ and BBB-, respectively, in line with the actions publicly taken on March 27th. Outlook remained negative. In the case of Compartamos Financiera Peru, in April 2020, Apoyo and Asociados Rating Agency and Class and Asociados Rating Agencies affirmed the local investment grade ratings for a subsidiary in the country at A- with stable outlook. Most of these changes in ratings are aligned to what has been happening in the countries with the sovereign and the financial system ratings. Thank you for your attention. That is all for our presentation, and we can now move forward to the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we would like to open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phones now. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question will come from Louis Yancey, Compass.
Oh, hi, guys. Good morning. Thanks for the call, and hope you guys are staying healthy. Two questions from my side, and I appreciate the level of detail you guys gave on your prepared remarks. But on the provision side, you know, the fact that Could you talk a little bit more about how we should expect provisions to evolve going forward, given that you over-provision a bit more in the first quarter? Is this 11 to 12% cost of risk that we saw in the first quarter sort of a level we could see in the next couple of quarters and then eventually coming down, or do you expect to see some sort of a, you know, a higher level in the second and third quarter? And then also on NPLs, you mentioned perhaps we'll see the peak in the third quarter. I know it's very hard to forecast what sort of peak we will see, but, you know, any color you could give in terms of, you know, right now you're 3.3%, you know, how much higher do you expect it to be? So that's my first question on provisions and NPLs. And then the second one on the loan book, you mentioned that almost 40% of your clients are still current and paying despite the fact that you offered them an 8-week deferral. I was wondering if you could comment how that percentage has evolved over the past few weeks, whether you started with, you know, 80% of clients paying and now it's 40, or whether it has remained around 40% all the time, and whether you are considering further deferrals beyond the 8-week program that you just announced. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Sorry for the delay. We're just figuring out the mute and off here with our phones. Sorry. Regarding provisions, given the fact that we are facing a new normal and we are going to be really needing to see what really happens with the behavior of our programs with the clients, we have decided to take this precautionary provision. We would expect to have additional provisions going forward as we can really see how this materializes. The provision that we took was based on some of the provision that we already expected from the behavior of the past performance of the portfolio, but also was based on some of the experiences that we have had in previous crises as described before. So given the fact that we're not going to start seeing really collections of the deferred portfolios and of the new reprogramming, we would expect to see lower levels of NPLs and provisions during the following quarters if we let just the regulatory measures to show in the balance, but therefore we will be complementing it with provisions that we can foresee with the real behavior that we would be expecting.
Luis, this is Patricio. In terms of the deferral facility that the customers have, we started in March 30th. And since then, I mean, as you know, we have weekly visits. Those customers that are at the end of their loans are more keen to repay us back to get more money, right? So as the weeks passed by, we started with 24% of the credit being deferred. Now we have more than 53%, and we expect that number to continue to increase in the months to come. As you know, also May, the customers will have this facility, if you will, this benefit, and that will give you, as Mario just said, as the customers defer their payments, they maintain themselves current, right? So what you'll see is that the loan book increases and the NPL remains low. But of course, the next phase that I was talking during my remarks of the next phase for for restructuring, we need to be simple and fast in order to get all the customers again back into a new terms and conditions to maintain the NPLs as low as possible. So, again, and I'm trying to deal with your two questions, not only loan book but NPLs. The next 4 and up to 6 months, the next 2 quarters, we have the regulatory facility to maintain the customers with this deferred payment capacity. So in those 6 months, we need to defer their payments and then restructure them as fast as possible in order to maintain the customers current and reduce their alleviate a little bit their payment capacity with longer tenors. And with all those actions, keeping as low as possible the NPLs for the months to come. Again, how hard the economy will be hit for how long it still gets to be seen, and this is why we report every month the financials of Banco Compartamos. But just I wanted to give you just the two-step process that we will go through in the next 2 quarters.
That's very helpful, Patricio and Mario. And then just to follow up on that, and on the OPEX side, Mario, you mentioned that you're doing a deep review and aiming to reach a meaningful reduction there, and you'll communicate that later on. But if you could talk a little bit about what measures you're taking there, especially on the employee front, which is a big chunk of your OPEX expenses, and whether it is possible to think that OPEX perhaps even declines this year relative to last year.
Yes, of course. Well, basically, what we did was to do a big reduction of all the projects that we had that we already had defined as the plan for the next years, and we decided just to focus now on what was needed in order to deal with business continuity and with all of the measures that we could take to make sure that our clients that we're going to get to be able to get to the clients the deferrals and the new programs that we are designing. So most of the projects were aligned to that and postponed. We also did an important reduction in some of the personal expenses. We decided to freeze all hiring. Given the fact that we would expect different dynamics in the indicators, also incentives were reviewed. We have also made a review in marketing. We also did a freeze on all the events that we typically do. We reduced, importantly, our payments to consultants, etc. So yes, we will provide probably more detail in the next quarter of the amounts, but we would expect to have such a significant performance in operation expenses as we did last year. We still are working out on many other items, so we can give you a more precise number, but obviously expenses would show a significant a reduction versus our guided number at the beginning of the year.
Okay, great. And my last question is on Peru. Is it fair to assume that given that Peru took measures earlier than Mexico in terms of social distancing and restrictions, and it's supposed to come out of this earlier and start opening the economy earlier than Mexico, you will see a recovery earlier in Peru and Mexico? What could you tell us about the fact that Peru is ahead of Mexico? What are you seeing so far in Peru that could be transferable to what we may see here in Mexico with a delay of a couple of weeks. Thanks.
Yes, Luis. And yes, it's Peru and Guatemala, actually, they are ahead of us like a couple of weeks, a little bit more than that. As you said, no, the Peruvian government has been very strict in their social distancing measures. They have strict lockdown measures for the entire country. And basically, the month of April, they basically stopped originations and collections for a couple of weeks. And the disbursements of loans and the collections of such reduced dramatically during the month of April. They extended the lockdown until mid-May, and this is something that we expect in Mexico. As we mentioned in our remarks, in Mexico, we are still collecting some customers. No, some customers are paying us back, but we expect that during May, more and more customers decide to take the deferral in their payments. So what Peru show us is that, for example, during May, the disbursements of loans and also collections of those will be lower than they have been during the month of April. And we expect by the end of May that the Peruvian economy start to go back to ease a little bit their restrictions. Their government has been more aggressive in the support of their economy. So we think that by June, we also will need to go through our restructuring process also in Peru, but we expect that to be happening during the months of June or July, in which we need to go back with our customers and understand what their payment capacity under the new normal. And those experiences, we are taking them back to Mexico. This is why, for example, all the measures that you saw at the end of this quarter, all the provisioning, all the liquidity, all of those initiatives were also taken earlier in Peru, and we decided to do them in Mexico, even though they were not 100% necessarily at that time, right? So, again, what I want to tell you is that today in Mexico, the ease of restrictions of the phase three, it's at the end of May. What we've seen in some other countries is that these starting date moves a little bit. So we expect the recovery in Mexico during the later June and July. And Peru is, again, a couple of weeks ahead of us.
Great. Thank you, guys. And thanks for the answers and stay healthy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Luis.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Adriana Lozada, Scotiabank.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to know whether you ran any stress test that you can talk to us about, or on the other hand, if you can talk to us about the dynamic that you see in Peru of group lending, as we had discussed on a previous call. Group lending is or can be less flexible than individual lending when it comes to switching business models during a crisis. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The first one relating to the – you asked stress test, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. We run a stress test taking into account different factors. very important factor was how many months we could or would give on the grace period first phase process. As you have seen, we decided to take 2 months or 16 weeks, and that was mainly driven by the fact that our group lending methodology has a shorter tenure than most of what the other banks or financial institutions has. We first did some exercise with what would be the appropriate deferring period term. And then we also have been doing exercises with how long would we do this reprogramming or restructuring of the payments, as Patricia was describing before. We would be extending the periods for 1.5 times or 2 times, which would imply reducing the payments of the clients. We did different exercises and different scenarios. Obviously, the longer we give in grace periods and the longer we extend the tenors of the reprogramming and restructuring, the higher liquidity we would be requiring. So we did all of those scenarios, and the scenario that we have now, which is the action that we are taking, we believe that it's something that makes sense at this point and that it's equilibrated to face the situation. But we also have more challenging scenarios where probably more flexibility with the clients would be needed, and obviously we have plans to address those more stressful scenarios. Maybe, I don't know, Patricio, if you want to talk a little bit about group
yes.
and you all.
Yes, and Adriana, after all the stress tests that we've done, the reality is, as Mario said, this is a liquidity pitch, right? So those institutions that are capitalized, well-provisioned, and have liquidity sources available will be able to provide the terms and conditions that the market requires. And therefore, as we said during our remarks, the market demand will be there. The credit is needed in not only Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala as well. And to reignite the economy locally, regionally, and nationally, you will need to provide funding in order to micro-entrepreneurs try to adapt to the new reality. And this is why, again, we are taking every step to reinforce our liquidity position, and we think that with the measures we've taken and those strategies that Mario has for the coming months, we will be strong enough to absorb the process of containing the customers and then restructuring them, regardless of the needs of the market. And in terms of Peru, we were talking about the group lending methodologies, and even though there are similarities in the product, of course, in Peru, the product is not as mature as it is in Mexico, right? So even though there are some similarities in the behavior and such, they have other features which make even easier, no? For example, they use the electronic payment capacity that we have locally, the electronic wallet to collect the money. So this is a seamless, much easier way to transact, even with social distancing measures. And in Mexico, of course, we have a stronger presence. We have more channels to disburse and collect. So again, the message that I want to get through here is that if we are close to the customers, if we understand their needs, and we provide them with flexibility, the need for credit will be strong in the three countries. And this is why even even though there might be millions of stress tests, the reality is that the stronger capitalized institutions that with good access to liquidity are the ones that will prevail going forward.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Ricardo Buchigel, BTG Pactual.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I'd like to ask if how are you guys feeling the competition adjusting to the crisis? And if you believe that Gentera's strong balance sheet puts it in an advantage towards our competitors today and in the future when the crisis is over. Thank you.
In terms of competition, in downturns, the competitive landscape tends to get weaker, as we mentioned during the remarks. Access to funding is key, and if customers perceive that you will not renew the loan in the next cycle, they stop paying you back. So that deteriorates very fast the balance sheet of smaller players. So what we've seen in the first months of this year, and actually we saw that since 2019, due to the economic slowdown that we lived also in that year, is that the competitive landscape started to get weaker. So we think that with higher number of people in the informal sector and with weaker competitors in the months to come, that opens up for an opportunity later this year that we will be keen to tackle. So, again, no, the following two quarters will be challenging for everyone in the three countries, but we believe that after the ease of restrictions and really the numbers start to play in, we see that later this year and 2021 could be a year of opportunity in the three countries in which we operate.
Yes, Ricardo, just adding to what Patricio just mentioned, what he's saying at the end is that we believe that for the next months and probably the whole year, supply is going to shrink and demand is going to grow. And we believe that not everyone will make it through. So this is something that we believe we have the responsibility, first of all, to protect Gentera, because we want to be there, and we will be there for our customers, and we want to help them through this. But then we have to also try to protect the industry. I think that microfinance industry is something that has been building for decades now. It has provided opportunities for many people, and I think that we will have to deal with this shrinking of the supply and growing of the demand, and that's how we see the future in the following months or maybe years.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from HSBC. Would you announce your name, please?
Hi, this is Neha Agarwala from HSBC. Thank you so much for taking my question. Could you provide us with a little bit more color on ConCrédito transaction? What are the plans for it, and how do you plan to consolidate it, and how is the business doing in the current environment? My second question is on Peru. You've explained how the individual loans are performing, but we think that that portfolio is probably more risky than the group lending methodology, which is predominant in Mexico. So any indication on how the individual loans in Peru have performed, and could you see an increase in NPLs much higher than in Mexico would be very helpful. Thank you so much.
Sure, thank you for the question. And I will start with the ConCrédito question. Yes, we have been in touch and we are working very close with our partners in ConCrédito. And I believe that they are making very clever actions. They are putting in place very clever actions to support their clients and to make sure that they will have the capacity to stay with their clients through this. Mainly what they are doing is that they are balancing through the distribution network that they have, which are with their entrepreneurs, empresarias, and they are the ones who are really having this sensibility, how is the demand now and the real demand for working capital loan. So they have reduced the amount because they believe, and we all believe, that the economic activity has been slowing down dramatically. So they are doing that, but they are using that distribution network, which is a very, very savvy distribution network because it's people from their own communities to really balance and manage in the best way possible this supply and demand of credit. So they are doing well. I think that they have a specific plan and as I told you, we are now talking with them to see what are we going to do through the first semester in terms of the transaction. So I think, as I was saying, we feel very comfortable and very supported, and we believe we are doing very good teamwork with them.
And in terms of Peru, of course, the individual lending, we have 200,000 customers in Peru with individual products. As you said, no, there are more established kind of micro entrepreneurs than the rural piece of that business. What we are doing is basically we will not grow at all in individual lending. What we want to keep is our customer base. We will focus our sales force in restructuring them. Again, as I said, no, the customers will require credit. So what we will need to do is ease a little bit the terms and conditions to alleviate their payment capacity to the new reality, because Peru is expected to shrink close to 8-9% for the year. So that's an important hit for the economy. So some sectors, most sectors will be affected. So the pitch here is we are 100% focused in maintaining the customer base, restructuring them, and try to alleviate through new terms and conditions to understand really their payment capacity to keep those customers current for the coming years, actually. But again, it's something that we need to go through in Peru as well as in Mexico. We offer them some sort of deferral of their payments. So today we kept the customers as they are, but we need to closely monitor how they behave and get impacted by the economic contraction.
If I can add another question there. In terms of asset quality, we saw some increase in the NPL ratio in the first quarter. We believe that is not from the current pandemic. Could you shed some light on what led to the asset quality deterioration in this quarter?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
The asset quality, do you remember last year we grew very fast, the number of customers, not only in Mexico, as well as Peru? New customers tend to have higher risk than existing or recurrent ones. So as you bring new customers, no, to the customer base, those are riskier customers. And we started in the fourth quarter to see a hike in their NPLs, not only in Mexico as well as in Peru. No, as you saw in Peru, in Peru in group lending, we've been growing very fast. And after a fast growth phase, also always NPL hits a little bit and we consolidate. That is something that, as you said, no, we saw in, at the end of the fourth quarter, is starting the first quarter. So this is not necessarily something related to the COVID pandemic, but to the economic slowdown that happened in Mexico and Peru in last year and was present during this year as well. This is why, again, I mean, we know that the customers' payment capacity will be affected, and this is why in Mexico, in Peru, we're taking additional provisioning, because as you saw, due to the regulatory flexibility, most of the customers that have deferred remain current, but we need to work with them to see and understand and assess what their real payment capacity in the following quarters, right? So again, it's a history that is being written every day, and we will provide with every detail that we have as the story unfolds.
Thank you very much for the explanation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, again, as a quick reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phones now. Our next question will come from Claudia Benavente.
Hi, good morning. Sorry, I've been having some trouble with my connection, so I apologize upfront if the question has already been repeated. I was wondering if you can provide us a little bit more color about what to expect regarding the additional provisions. If I take a look to the coverage ratio, it remains fairly unchanged to the figure reported in fourth quarter 2019. So basically, the additional provisions are not seen here. It's like they have completely netted with the deterioration of the NPL formation ratio. I understand that you grew more rapidly, and that explains the deterioration, but still the coverage ratio remains unchanged. Figure. So how should we read the additional provisions that you could create ahead? Thank you.
Yes, hi, Claudia. As mentioned before, what we have been doing was building the rationale for the increasing the provisions. We were taking some of the measures and the calculations that we had for the provisions going forward, and we also took an incremental decision on what we had been expecting and experiencing in the last quarters. So that was the base of the provisioning. And I'm not sure if that was what you were asking.
Claudia, just to be very clear, we provisioned as much as we could during March. Basically, the net income for the bank was zero because we provisioned everything due to what we expect going forward. With that decision, we protected the capital base, and we were as aggressive as we could with the information that we had. Going forward, what we expect is to continue to be as aggressive on the provisioning side because, again, the depth and length of the contraction is yet to be seen, and we will take every prudent and conservative measure to be able to alleviate somehow the financial pressure that we expect to see in the following quarters.
Yes, Claudia, and hello, it's nice to hear from you. This is Enrique, and I think that in one line, the rationale of the provisions is that we are preparing for the storm. So I think that's what Pato and Jose Mario explained.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Ernesto Gabilondo, Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, Enrique, Patricio, and Mario. Can you share with us if you have run a stress test scenario for the cost of risk, and how would you identify the potential troubled clients, as the big impact is probably being seen during the last quarter? And I would like to know if you are taking additional measures when you are originating new loans. I think that most of the clients will probably say that it's for working capital loans. However, don't you think there could be some indebtedness in the sector given the weaker economy activity in the formal and informal sectors, in SMEs, the lower remittances in the country? As you mentioned, this sector is defensive and usually lives in a daily basis, but just wondering if you are having some concerns in your originations because the client will need the loan for another reason. Thank you.
Ernesto, how are you? This is Patricio. In terms of the loan origination, as you know, our customers historically adequate to the economic activity that they see in their local community. So what we saw during the last days of March and during April is that the renewals come with a lower amount, on average 7%. But what we decided is to be stricter on the origination side. The amount of money that you can borrow in the next loan have been reduced 10%, and additional products, no, the Crédito Crece and Mejora, which provides you with some sort of liquidity within the 16 weeks, have been canceled. So again, with those restrictions, what we want to do is to again have credit available for productive activities, right? And that's something that we're doing in Peru, Mexico, and Guatemala. And this is something that, again, reflects the reality of the macro scenario in the three countries, but also provides us with certain cushion to face liquidity as well.
Regarding your question, let me change line. I think this sounds better. Sorry, Ernesto. Regarding cost of risk, as you can see, and taking into account the provision that we took, cost of risk increased to 11.6 versus the 7.5% that would have been without the provision. Now, going forward, what we need to be looking at is how we take decisions on additional provisioning or not, depending on what we are seeing. With the provision that we took and with the effects of the portfolio being current, if you want, by the regulation methodologies that have been approved, we could expect some diminishing training provisions, but again, we will be very, very careful about putting the right level of what we would be seeing in the field. And the other aspect is that we would expect probably lower portfolio averages in the last two quarters. So with that combination with Lobby, we have an effect on cost of risk that we still are not providing guidance yet. We need to see more of the behavior and of the programs that we've put in place to have more specific projections to provide further detail on that ratio.
Thank you, Patricio and Mario.
Thank you, Ernesto.
Thank you very much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, a quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. Our next question will come from Alonso Garcia, Credit Suisse.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. My question is on the liquidity side. Just wanted to ask, what's the level of usage of your credit lines with development banks at this point after having tapped 5.5 billion pesos of additional liquidity in the quarter? And for how long will this additional liquidity be enough? Is it for the next quarter, the next two, or for how long? And what are the assumptions, especially on the collection side, behind this expectation? Thank you very much.
Okay. We have so far used an important part of the credit facilities that were approved before the contingency with the development banks, but we are in a very, very advanced process of expanding those facilities. We are also taking into account some of the new Banxico methodologies. The rules have not come out yet, but we have been in conversation with Banxico and the development banks particularly. So we expect that additional facility will be approved very, very soon. Regarding your question on how long the liquidity would last, I would turn that question around. We have an amount of liquidity today, and we have very, very important plans and conversations, not only with development banks, but with commercial banks and with the capital markets, et cetera. So the plans that we're doing are based on the liquidity that we currently have. So we're being very, very conservative on the use of that liquidity. And that liquidity is an amount that exists, but it also depends on, one, what are the reprogramming that we launch to the market, and that we will give further detail as we go into phase two. And that phase two will redefine what would be the collections calendar going forward. And that collection calendar going forward, we need to make very sure that it is as true and real as possible. Because if we're able to do that and then get the collections as expected, then we would have a good balance of liquidity. So it's not that we are continuing with disbursements and collections without taking care of the liquidity. It's the other way. It's with the liquidity and the plans that we have, what are the best options to our clients. So it is key that we monitor that. Without even considering that we are very close to get incremental facilities very soon, and we're looking to alternative sources of funding that are in a real advanced process.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. At this time, with no questions in the queue, the questions answer session has concluded. I will now hand the call over to Enrique Mayos for any final remarks.
Thank you, Chantel. Just a final and short message. I would like to tell you that we are sure we are going to get through this. We have our customers, and our customers have a lot of courage, resilience, hard work, and they have proven that they can go through crisis several times. So I believe that one of our strengths is, in fact, our own customers. The other thing that we have is that we have a great team, and I want to congratulate and thank all the management team, but also all the staff members, all our colleagues in Gentera, because we have been doing a really, really professional work, and I think that we are very mission-driven, which is a very powerful fuel. We have been very agile in the last weeks. We are being reacting at a very unexpected speed, and that's a very good thing. And despite we know we are living uncertainty, uncertain times, and that we might not know exactly what's going to happen, I believe we have a plan, and we know what to do at least for the next 1 to 3 months, which at this time may be the better definition of long term. So thank you to all our team. I think I have a great team, and I thank them for the work they have been doing. And also I want to thank the extraordinary board of directors that we have. We have been getting a lot of support from them, a lot of orientation, and that's another pillar that will that is making us strong to go through this crisis. As management team, it is very important to maintain strong, and I think that this is one of our priorities, to maintain ourselves strong and healthy and motivated. And maybe that motivation comes basically and that strength from two things. First of all, a balance of life. We have to maintain ourselves physically, mentally, spiritually strong with family support, and I think that we are managing it. And the second thing for our motivation and strength is that we know we have our purpose. The ultimate motivation is the purpose of Gentera, which is to provide people with the tools to get through this kind of contingencies. In that sense, I can tell you that we really believe we have the best job. I think that we all are wondering what can we do to help people that are not that privileged and they are suffering out in the street. And I think that that's what we have been doing for years in Gentera. So we have our job, and at the same time is that kind of work that we want to do socially now. That's the better time we can spend or invest nowadays. And we are making sure that our clients will have the resources to make it through it. So that's the best contribution as a company, but also as individuals. So this we shall pass to, and we are sure about that. We will be there for our customers to make it together to the other side. So just with those messages, I would like to tell you, please keep safe. Again, we hope you and your family are doing well. And thank you for listening to our report today. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this now concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your phone lines and have a great rest of the week. Thank you.